Just wondering for a few moments. Can I stay here, Phil? No. It's okay. I truly didn't want it to be recorded.
Too bad, so be careful of what you say.
Exactly. Just for a few moments, I felt it is fitting when we have taken the subject of the temple to present some verses from 1 Kings. But before I do so, it is very important for all those that are here with us today. We have spoken much about glory, display of excellency, that we see in the life and the coming of the Lord Jesus. And to you, if you are without Christ, probably meant nothing. On top of it, we brought us into the picture. And we said that those that have trusted Christ Jesus are also the temple where we said the dwelling place of God Himself. And that I can assure you, if the first one meant nothing to you, then the next session meant absolutely nothing to you. But I'm here to just share a word. Before I enter into something that might also will be meaningless to you, I feel the need to present a word of warning and yet present you with the love of God. Is that if we have discussed our last reading, that there is coming a day where Christ will rule supreme, the unfortunate part of it, that if you have decided today and you made a decision within your own soul that up to this moment you will not accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me assure you, as far as God's word is concerned, you will not be present in that coming day. You will not witness at all the greatness and the beauty of that scene to come. Because unfortunately, you will be in a place of torment, regretting the occasion that you did not believe the word of God when a word of salvation and the love of God was extended to you. You felt, you know what, let me enjoy what I'm enjoying presently in this world. The brethren talked much about maybe technology and computers and all these things that really will defile our minds if we are watching the wrong things. And probably in your own vision and your own deep in your own soul wanted to continue that path of things. That's going to be your choice. Elijah, when he challenged the people of God, he says, you know, make a decision. Make a choice. Make a choice, my dear son and daughter, young and old alike. Make a choice this evening that I thank God that God loved me so much. The measure of His love that He gave His only begotten Son. Why did He offer Him up? Because He loved you. And God does not desire that any, the Bible said, should perish. That any. He has no intention and desire for you to perish. But because of your sins, you would. If you will not accept the payment of Christ on Calvary's cross, that He paid for your sins and mine. He cried, it is finished. There is nothing else to be done. He was raised because God accepted the payment. And God has every intention to exalt Him, even now where He is at the right hand of God. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is say yes to the gift of God. Yes to the unspeakable gift of God. Lord Jesus, I accept You. Into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And I can assure you, from God's authority, the word of God, none of us can make you or give you any assurance. Only the word of God, only God Himself. He says, and ye will have eternal life. It's as simple as this. So make a decision this evening. Do you have a desire to witness the greatness and the excellency of this blessed person we've been occupied with today? Then say yes to him. I beg with you. I beg you to say yes to him. And if you said yes to him, I want to tell you what you are in him. So turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 5. I want to give room for other brethren. So it's going to be a fast moving thing. And I want to read a few verses. One verse is from 1 Kings chapter 5 and verse 17. And the king commanded, and they brought great stones, costly stones, and huge stones to lay the foundation of the house. Verse 7 of chapter 6. And the house, when it was building, was built of stone made ready before it was brought thither. Underline, made ready before it was brought thither. 1 Kings chapter 7 and verse 9. All these were of costly stones, according to the measures of huge stones, sowed with sows within and without. Verse 10. And the foundation was costly stones, even great stones, stones of 10 cubits and stones of 8 cubits. And above were costly stones after the measures of huge stones and cedars. And the great court round about was 3 rows. And the last verse, I'm going to say it in closing, and that's in chapter 6. I'm not going to say it now. But remember, there will be one more verse. When we talk about the temple, it has every intention from the Old Testament to understand God's ways and God's purpose seen in saving your soul and saving my soul. No wonder that when the Apostle Peter was talking to us, he spoke to us as being living stones. Why is it the living stones? Because you and I are the temple of God presently by the Spirit of God. The church of the living God is the temple where God dwells. And because it's a temple where God dwells, we are by figure stones. That's why the Apostle Peter said again, we are living stones. Why are we living stones? Because we take character from the living God. Everything in Christianity is living. There is no deadness. It's not that kind of religion that the author of it is dead and the preachers of it are dead and there is no hope in the future. Christianity is totally different because it is a living system because we take character from the living true God. And that's why you and I are living stones. And I want to engage our hearts of what are the features of that stones that were seen in the temple of Solomon, but also the spiritual value that you and I could gain in light of the New Testament. That these stones, in chapter 5 it says, and they brought great stones. The first feature of that great stones is the position that the grace of God has placed us in. That you and I, by the grace of God, dear brethren, and this is why it's not a matter of boasting. It's not a matter of being proud and full of pride because of what the grace of God brought us into. But so that, as we were reminded earlier, and the Apostle Paul took it from that verse, he says, he that boasteth or glory, let him glory in the Lord. So when we talk about the characteristic of these stones, so that the conclusion of it is you and I will glory in the Lord. That this is what the grace of God has wrought. That you and I, because of the great work of Christ, is we are considered great stones. That we have a great position. The position that God has placed upon us is something that none of us could ever imagine. And when Isaiah 53, that was touched a little bit on, and he says, and he shall divide the spoil, his spoil, with the great. Dear brethren, it is speaking about Christ Jesus, that he will divide his spoil with the great. And the great in that setting speaks of you and for me. You know, I could imagine and you could understand if we presented Christ Jesus with all his greatness, that he is the great one. And never lose sight that he is the great one. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall be great. If there is any greatness, it is found in Christ. But my dear friend, once more, simply because we accepted him as our Lord and Savior, because he is great, the grace of God made us also great. The second thing it says about it was great stones, but it was costly stones. Let me tell you the cost of that stone. The cost, that word costly, in the New Testament is mentioned twice. Maybe one is the pearl that was costly, and the other one was the alabaster box that was very costly. That's the only twice. Maybe people say there's three. I didn't see it as of now, but I'm willing to accept it if there's three or four. But there is, as much as I know, there is the two of them, and it is very costly. Let me tell you how much these stones costed. It costed the Son of God. It costed the Lord Jesus to come and pay a tremendous value before God. And the value of it, and the price that he has presented and paid, and the transaction that took place between Christ and his blessed God, made us very costly. You know what? We all enjoy certain things and we like to buy certain things. Maybe we have some hobbies. We like to collect certain things. But we're always careful how much you want to spend. But think of it. Is there any greater price than for a blessed one to give up his life for you and for me? That's the top. This is the value of that stone. The first one was the position that the grace of God brought us into. The second one is the value and the cost that was paid for us to be redeemed. And the third one, it says, costly and hewed stones. Hewed stones that they used to make them in a special way to look, in so many cases it is said, to look like others. To look like others. And I want to tell you, dear brethren, what the grace of God is going to bring to fruition. That we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That these stones have a special conformity. And they are conformed into the same image of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not only greatness. Yeah, wonderful. You know what David could say to God? Thy gentleness have made me great. Well, okay, you stop there. And we might all understand the aspect that God in his goodness, he saw a pearl. The Lord Jesus saw a pearl. And his own assessment was very costly. And he says, I am willing to pay a very costly price to secure it for me. To secure such stones. But have you ever thought, on top of it, on top of this, that we might be like him? And is it so? We shall be like thy son? Is this the grace that he for us has won? What a question to raise. It wasn't only Mr. Darby that's raising this question. I truly believe everyone that has been touched by the kindness of God, by the grace of God, deep inside will ask the same question. Is this the grace that he for us has won? The second part of it is in chapter 7. Now think of the words that is recorded for us here again once more to appreciate the grace of God. And these stones were made ready before they brought down. Ready before. Do you have any question that when God was planning to have a temple, not made with hands, but made of you and for me, or of me, that he prepared us from before the foundation of the world? Brethren, I could accept that Christ died for me. I could fully accept it. Understand it? I come very short. Come very short. But even for a moment to think that he has loved me in him before the foundation of the world. We were prepared. Now think of the thought that these stones were, before they brought the idea into the residency of God, that they were prepared beforehand. And how thankful each one of us are thankful for the purpose of God, that even before the foundation of the world, he had made me to be accepted in the Beloved. Before you and I were born, We were marked that we will be part of that temple where God could reside and find his rest. That's the kind of God we have. So that's our position. How about practically? We said there were practical aspects for the temple that needs to be seen. And maybe with that portion of 1 Kings, brethren, we thank God for all the scriptures because it's all in harmony. You know, you can read Living Stones in the New Testament, but you have to go to the Old Testament to understand the beauty and the wonderful characteristics that are found in these stones. So that when I come to the following chapter, it says about the costly stones. So now I'm going to come to the practical side. We spoke about the position, that we have a great position. We've been secure, costly price that had been paid, and we're going to come into full conformity to Christ. The exhortation practically is to be conformed to Christ presently. But heaven will bring us to the full conformity that we will be like him. But how about the practical aspect of those stones? You know, the beauty of it is that these stones that we read in verse 9 of chapter 7, it says they were sowed with souls within and without. Have you ever applied the sword, the saw, and cut? Now, one thing is positional. The second thing is practical. Is how could I enjoy that which God has brought me into a position of blessing? How could I enjoy that God could have his rest? He can find his rest in a local testimony. He can find his rest in a local house like Bethany. He can find rest in the life of an individual. How could it be? You apply the saw. They were stones where soul were sown. You know what soul? It's called self-judgment. It is called when they went to Gilgal and Joshua, they brought sharp what? Sharp knives. And sometimes for me to live practically in the good of the position that the grace of God has brought me, I have to start understanding how to apply self-judgment. You agree with me, brethren. We're always so good at pointing fingers at others. Everything started with our grandfathers and parents. Eve blamed the serpent, Adam blamed Eve, and the story continues. In our localities, if there are issues, I'll tell you, I'm wonderful. It's him, it's her, right? I mean, we play that game, right? We always try to justify ourselves. The problem is we are not learning that lesson, that in a practical way, that great costly stone, there is something about it. There is certain soul that has to be applied in a practical way so that I will enter into all the enjoyment of God, of what God has for me. Amen? I trust that we might learn this, especially before tomorrow when we come to break bread. Let him examine himself. It's not like look into the mirror. Oh, I look good. I have a suit. Let the man examine himself and let him eat. I have a tie. I have a jacket. I can eat. It's judging yourself. Let the man examine himself and then let him eat. It's applying self-judgment. And brethren, may the Lord prepare our hearts to be sensitive to a divine presence. That even when he asked us in love and in grace and in kindness, this too in remembrance of me, that I don't approach it lightly. That when I'm anticipating that moment to remember him, that there is some self-judgment upon me before I eat, but the scripture says you examine and you eat. You don't examine and you stay home. There's nothing like this in Christianity. I examine and I stay home. I examine and then I eat. I apply self-judgment and then I enjoy these kind, wonderful emblems before me because of what they speak of. The other thing, and then I said I want to bring a verse to finish. These stones were different sizes, different cubits. 10 cubits, 8 cubits, and they were put in row. There was what we discussed earlier in the real temple. There were things in order. Everything was in row. There was nothing thrown. Just, you know what? I hope it will come evenly. Throw the stone. There was, everything was organized and put in order. They were in rows. And brethren, in a practical way, we have to make sure that in our local testimonies, there is order of things. It's not your order, it's not my order. We said it a few times today. It's not for you and for me to put legal regulations, and you have to do this, and you have to sit this way, and you cannot do this, and you cannot do that. We don't do these things. But there is an order of God. There is the wooden order, right? Every time that there's godly men that offered sacrifices in the Old Testament, you know what said of them? They set or they put the wood in order. So they knew that our God is a God of order. Although it's not recorded that way in the Bible, he's not the author of confusion. Nevertheless, he's a God of order. He desired to set things in an orderly way. So let's not bring confusion into our local testimonies. And then there were different sizes. One thing in a practical way, that in the temple, we have to understand that even when we are ushered into glory, one star differ from another star. And brethren, when we come together as the temple of God, and we said in 1 Corinthians 14 of how we conduct ourselves, it's okay, there are stones that are 10 cubits. And there are stones, they are 8 cubits. There are stones that are big, and there are stones that are small. But listen, we don't want to be the 10 cubits if it's not the mind of God. And you don't want to be the 12 cubits if it's not the mind of God. Let us function in the way that God has designed us. If he gave you whatever abilities, praise God for it. And the saints of God should enjoy that someone with whatever size, with whatever ability that God has given him or her, that they are doing the work in a practical way so that the temple, so that the saints of God could go along, hopefully growing into the very stature of Christ Jesus. And that's the last verse I want to read. So that, as I said, to give room. Chapter 6. Now read this very carefully, dear brethren. It explains itself. Trust me, you don't need somebody to stand up and to explain it to you. But I certainly believe we have spoken about what God has purposed. And in a practical way, how can I enjoy practically right now what God had in mind for me eternally? But now read this, because this is the main thing about every story and about every message. And that's in chapter 6 and verse 18. And the last part of it. And there was no stone seen. There was no stone. So have you heard the word? The great, costly, hewn stones, how wonderful. If we're talking about these things in a material way, everybody wants to see them. Who wants to hide precious things? You know, some people buy precious metal to display it. But look at these stones that God has prepared before they even came down. They were already made ready. These great and costly stones, it says, when everything is put in order, there was no stone seen. And they saw no man save Jesus only. Brethren, you can talk about the blessing that the grace of God has blessed us with, all spiritual blessing. But the conclusion of the whole matter. You remember Solomon what he says? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And let me tell you the conclusion of the whole day today. There was no stone that was seen. Brethren, I trust by the grace of God that tomorrow when we come together to remember him and to make much of him, that there will be no stone seen. Peter wanted to see Elijah, and he wanted to see more of Elias, but God had a different mind. And may God give us the grace and the ability to be in tune with his mind, that they saw no man save Jesus only. And with all these wonderful features of these stones, you know when I will become a good stone? When I live a life that I am hidden and Christ is seen only in my life. And may it be so for his name's sake, that the way we lived and the way we function in our local testimonies, that we all can come to the same conclusion. We saw no man. Tomorrow morning when we come together, we saw no man save Jesus only. And may it be so for his name's sake.
Psalm 132 and verse 13. For the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. So far. Isn't it wonderful to see that in the heart of God, the creatures whom he made for the praise of his glory, who can respond to his heart, he desires to have with him in the glory for all eternity. It's just sad. And I'm sure the Lord reflected on this quite often when he was on earth, that the ravages of sin has turned the hearts of men so far from God. But what a delight to the Lord Jesus that he could reside to the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He had his own. He knew his own. He loved his own. And Scripture says, having loved his own, he loved them to the uttermost. The Lord has in mind a rest. It was mentioned today that God could not rest shortly after man was on earth because of sin. The peace, the ease, the tranquil that there was shattered by sin. That was not really what the Lord desired for his own, for man. And so, he had to provide from his own right arm that way of salvation, because it could not spring from the natural man. It had to come from God. And he lovingly provided it through the Lord Jesus Christ. The habitation, I'm sure, that the Lord had in mind was the very place where he is. That man or a bride would be provided for his beloved son. A people for his praise, for his glory, for his delight. To be with him in that place of rest. Here will I dwell. I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. For those who will in some day enjoy the realm of eternity with Christ, there are no wants. There are no needs in that place. It is not like what we're used to on earth. God satisfies our every need in that place. I will satisfy her poor with bread. The Lord Jesus says in Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Who are the poor in spirit? But those who have realized their desperate need as sinners and have turned to Christ in their need and accepted the provision that God has made in Christ, that they might, as it says in the Gospel of John, as many as believed him, to them gave he the authority to become the sons of God. And God takes care of his own. I will also clothe her priests with salvation. Does not Peter bring before us the thought of the priesthood? We had the temple before us this day. And with the temple is the priesthood. Who are the priests of God? But all those who have turned to Jesus Christ. All those who are his. Kings and priests we are, who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And her saints shall shout aloud for joy. Beloved, if there is a shout of joy in heaven over one sinner that repents, can you imagine a throng of saved sinners in the presence of their Lord? Where there are no hindrances of the flesh. What a joy that will be. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. There the Lord Jesus Christ will shine in his brightest glory. And all glory and praise will abound to him and to the Father through Christ. God is worthy of praise. God is to be honored and had an honor amongst the saints. It is a privilege, beloved, when we gather to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus. What a wonderful study we had today where we could see the Lord Jesus Christ, even for a brief moment. What glory shine in his person. What a heart he has for us. That he would deign to die for us. That in a coming day he will bring us to himself. That we might be like him. That we might dwell with him. That joy might be ours for all eternity. Our Lord has good things in store for us. Let us appreciate these things. For his name's sake.
Amen.